Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt shares a lesson on the Great Commission.
And I want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to feel comfortable being stagnant and coming to our church, because that's not the goal. Jesus didn't say, go make stagnant, don't care that much people. He said, make disciples, or as we're saying, fully devoted followers whose lives are all about Him. That's the goal.
Jesus calls us to more than church attendance. He calls us to action. Welcome to The Journey. I'm your host, Tim Svoboda. And today, Pastor Steve DeWitt confronts our spiritual stagnation with Jesus' clear command to make disciples. We're discovering why simply gathering crowds isn't enough and why every believer is called to share Christ. It's the conclusion of a message titled, The King's Speech, from Matthew chapter 28. If you'd like to access the full message, you can listen online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve DeWitt.
The mission is to make disciples. Making disciples includes both the beginning and the process. It is the beginning of becoming a disciple. We call that conversion, right? Faith, belief, salvation. It's the beginning, but it is also the rest of it is part of it as well. The maturing, or what we would call progressive sanctification, the process of becoming a Jesus Junior as we are made into the likeness of Christ. All of it is part of the mission. Let me compare it to you this way. Let's say that our whole goal was to make brain surgeons. Why do we exist? We exist to make brain surgeons. You could say, well, then now, what's important in making brain surgeons? Well, it's both learning the beginning, right? In the immortal words of Michael Jackson, ABC, it's easy as 1, 2, 3, right? You got to know the ABCs. If you're ever going to become a brain surgeon, you better know your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3s. That beginning is important, but so is all the rest of it. Because the goal is not simply to begin discipleship, the goal is to make disciples. And that making is the beginning, it is the process, it is the multiplying, and it is the maturing, or we might say it this way, it is the evangelism, and it is the edification. So make disciples. Class, what's the goal? Make disciples. That's why we exist here. Now, in the verse, though, what Jesus does is he gives the goal, and then he frames that goal with, they're participles, and these are aspects of what this process is going to require. If the goal is to make disciples of all nations, how is that going to be accomplished, and what should that look like? And you'll notice the three participles here, it involves going, baptizing, and teaching. Going, baptizing, and teaching. Let's talk about each of these. Going. The commission is a go mission. It involves going. And there is nuance in this word. And so you read the commentaries and there's debate about whether this Jesus is saying everybody's got to leave and go, or if he is saying as you go or as you live your life, make disciples. And maybe you can go either way on that. But here's what I think. The mission is to make disciples of all nations. And whether that is exegetically required, it certainly is logically required. Imagine those disciples. They go, oh, okay, so as we go, as we fish in the Sea of Galilee, let's make disciples. And let's say that they never went anywhere. This world is a much different place. If nobody ever left Israel to tell anybody that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, how is this going to be accomplished that all nations are evangelized? It requires some people to be goers. And maybe God might call you to be a goer. In my opinion, it's been too long since this church has raised somebody up from within it and sent them off. It's been too long. We've had some of that. It's been too long. I have to believe that there are within our church people that God has equipped and maybe prepared your heart to be a goer, to reach the nations. At the same time, not everybody can go. And For goers to go, it requires senders to send them. And so you are either a goer or you are a sender, but everybody is part of the mission. Everybody has a role in this thing. And what I want, my goal in this message today is for everybody to be on board with that mission and to understand that you have a key role to play in it and that Jesus has commanded it. Make disciples. So this is not just like the missionaries and the pastors. This is, if you are a disciple of Jesus, this is what you are about. And really, this is, I think, a lifestyle. We are disciples ourselves who are on mission to multiply disciples, duplicate ourselves by intentionally helping to make disciples. And so here is the clear command of Jesus. And I want to ask you, if Jesus showed up here right now and went down the row and said, okay, I want everybody here, I want to report from everybody, what are you personally doing to fulfill the mission that I gave you? Go. Down, okay, what are you doing? And what are you doing? And what are you doing? I wonder, what would you say that you are currently actively, intentionally doing to be a part of Jesus' mission to make disciples? I want you to think about that. Second participle, baptize. Baptize. Right in the king's speech is baptism. Now, it's not the central thing, but I do want you to note that in the final words that Jesus gives, he includes baptism. Not only is this a command to baptize, but it is also a command to be baptized. And if you're here today and you're like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, have you been baptized? No! You got to know, in the first century church, you would have been a weirdo. Like, if in the first century church, if somebody said, hey, man, are you a Christian? Yeah, when'd you get baptized? Well, I haven't got around to it. They would be like, what are you talking about? Like, Jesus told us to be baptized. Like, you're a follower of his and you're not obeying that? Like, what's up with that? It's right in the Great Commission, is baptism. I'm noting that to you. And I say that because we have some of that going on where it's like, following Jesus, believing in him, yes, I got to do that. Baptism is sort of this optional thing if I can get around to it. And I don't think Jesus includes the optional things in his final words, right? I don't think General Eisenhower is like, you know, go to Normandy, shoot if you want to. There are certain things that are just part of what it means to do it. And to be a Christian is to believe in Jesus and to obey him and get baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. And there's the verse and many others that say followers of Jesus need to get baptized. And if you want to get baptized, you let us know and we'll take care of it. Baptism. And then we have teaching. Can't spend a lot of time on this, but teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I note that right there in the Great Commission is the role of teaching. You look at the ministry of Jesus. He did many things, but everywhere he went, he taught. And there is, within Christianity, this prioritizing of the teaching, of the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, and how God uses that, right, to grow his disciples. It is a priority. And every few years, somebody comes along and says that, oh, enough with teaching and down with doctrine and it doesn't matter and let's do shorter sermons. Let's just love people. That's all that we need to do. Let's just love people. But I want you to see that everywhere Jesus went, he loved people and he taught them. He taught. The early church was filled with teaching and filled with preaching. And God's people have always been learners, people of the word, yearning to learn. More to say on that, but no time. Here's the final part of this, is a powerful encouragement. Notice, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to realize that the king doesn't simply promise power for the mission, which he does do. Okay, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me, now go. He doesn't simply promise power, he promises presence. I am with you. I am with you. His authority, he says, is over everybody, everywhere. It is transgeographical. It is transspherical. But notice here that his presence includes all those spheres, but then he adds, even to the end of the age. His presence with us is trans time. He says, as you go, everywhere you go, all the time you go, know that I am with you. His presence with us. And we know after Pentecost that that presence is via the Holy Spirit, which is also called the Spirit of Christ, that the Holy Spirit is the presence of Christ with us. And everywhere we go, all the time, he dwells within us, for goodness sakes. We have Jesus with us. And what an encouragement and a comfort that is. This is what David said as well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where's the comfort? You are with me. Every sphere, every age, everywhere, he is with us. And that's not just in the mission. That's in the ups and downs and the trials of life. And there's no doubt somebody here who needs to hear this word right now. Jesus is with you. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. If we had eyes to see and understand, the presence of the risen Savior is here with us and will always be with us, no matter what happens, no matter how long, to the very end of the age. Do you believe that? And that's the King's speech, okay? That's the King's speech. All authority, do what you do, because I am who I am, has been given unto me. Go make disciples. The character of that making is involving going to the nations, teaching and baptizing, making followers of Christ. Now, what I want to do the rest of this message, I want to spend a little time talking about Jesus' mission to the church and Bethel Church. Because I think this passage, as I said at the beginning, provides an opportunity for us to hold up. This is what Jesus said we're supposed to be doing and prioritizing, and now this is what we're doing. And to ask the question, how are we doing? And individually for us to ask the question, how am I doing in terms of prioritizing what Jesus said I should be about in my life? And I'm going to give you my pastoral perspective on the church. I think in some ways we're doing well. And I think in some ways we have a lot of room for improvement. Now let me unpack that a little bit for you. And that's a hard thing to say, by the way, because our church is so diverse. We have so many different people, you know, we have the campuses, we got all this stuff going on. It's hard to say we're all one way or the other, because we're not all one way or the other. We've got, you know, a lot of wonderful on-mission, serving Jesus type situations and people and families, and we've got a lot of stagnant, not doing anything from what I can tell people. Both of those together. So I'm painting with a broad brush here, what I'm saying here, but I think that Jesus' words here are a particular challenge to our church to multiply and to mature. Or to say it this way, and this is the thought I want you to have in your brain. Bethel Church, more and better disciples. That's what we need. I think we are, as a whole, better at maturing disciples here than beginning people on the process or beginning people in, I'm saying it wrong. We have a lot of people that come to our church. But I want you to note that Jesus doesn't say make a crowd, he says make disciples. And there is a big difference. Otherwise, Wrigley Field would be fulfilling the commission, the Great Commission, amazingly. If just gathering people was the goal, there are tricks and things you can do to get people to show up at something. But the goal is not that. The goal is for the church to be beginning to introduce people to Jesus, for them to receive him as Savior and begin the process of being a disciple and then growing in their walk and in their faith. And what I'm saying is we're better at the growing than we are at the beginning. Many people come to our church. They like the expositional feel. They like the doctrinal, sort of creedal, gospel-centered feel. And you know what? Great. I don't want to change that. I love that myself. I don't want to change that, okay? And many people, and I hope you're one of them, have come to our church and their spiritual life has taken off. Like they have grown and sometimes grown magnificently. And we see that transformation and it's like a fantastic thing. Love that. Want more of that. But as I said, we have plenty of stagnant Christians to be found around here. And I want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to feel comfortable being stagnant and coming to our church, because that's not the goal. Jesus didn't say, go make stagnant, don't care that much people. He said, make disciples, or as we're saying, fully devoted followers whose lives are all about him. That's the goal. And if that's the stream of where everything is going here, if you're not in the stream, I want you to feel like you're sort of not with it, because you're not. And frankly, you're missing out. Who's hurt by that? You are. Get on board with the mission and grow and mature in your Christian life. So the goal of the mission, more and better disciples, I think we need to grow in the more side, the evangelism side, the caring about the people around us going to hell side. Where we need to grow is in the culture of mission in the day-to-day of life, where the Great Commission isn't just sort of a when the church talks about it thing, it's like an everyday thing for us, where in my heart and in my mind is the thought that I myself am a missionary in my workplace and in my school and in my neighborhood, that I have a desire in my heart to see people that are around me become followers of Jesus. That I actually think it's so wonderful in my life that I want to share that good news with other people, to build a relationship. In fact, if I could ask this question, and I'm asking rhetorically, but if I said, right now, I want to do a poll, and I'm asking everybody here to participate. I said, I want everybody to stand, and if you have built a relationship in which you have shared Jesus with somebody in your life in the last 2 weeks, would you sit down? In the last 2 months, would you sit down? In the last 6 months, would you sit down? Here's my question. How far back would I have to go before you could say, yep, that's me? And if you're one of the people that's standing very long, could I say to you, you are not on board with Jesus' command. The command is to make disciples. And if we're not making disciples, you can say all that you want, but we are not in obedience to him. This is a command. It is an imperative. I read this week. I liked it. Scripture anchors evangelism in our lived out new creation identity in Christ. It's a lifestyle. We are, as my friend Walter McCray has written, gospelizers, people who have been radicalized by the good news from Jesus Christ. We have been changed by the hope-filled, faith-giving news of his divinity and humanity, his life and death, resurrection and ascension, and his return to reign and rule over and through all who authentically believe in him. And if you're not going to the nations geographically, you are still called to be going in terms of the spheres that you live in and I live in. We're still goers. In a sense, we're all goers, seeking more disciples of Jesus by personally loving and leading the people in our life towards Jesus as God allows. And to pray about that and to be burdened by that. I mean, just think, if for a moment we could understand what eternity is like for somebody that does not know Christ by faith. And to realize every person that you ever see is somebody that's going to spend eternity, and there's only two options. And Jesus says, go and share the good news that there is salvation in my name. Make followers of me. It's not like he's saying, go and tell people a burdensome story. Go and just, you know, depress people. No, go and save people. Save people. What glorious opportunity we have to see people saved from the wrath of God forever. And it's not just the church or the pastors. It's the people. In other words, you. You, friend. Now, I'm going to do a little wondering here with you, okay? Just a little wondering. Again, this is Pastor Steve. This is not a elder edict or anything like that. I'm just doing a little wondering with you here. I want to think about our Mission Them initiative in light of Matthew 28. Do you remember the statement? Here it is. Bethel Church exists to multiply disciples through multiple sites and multiple partnerships. Might God be calling us to target people groups, ethne, nations, that aren't out there but actually live right here in this diverse community, Northwest Indiana? For example, you could say, we want to reach China. The Chinese come here. We have initiatives in the Chinese community right now. We have baptized on this stage many Chinese students who have come here. And we've got Chinese ministry that is ongoing. And I just kind of wonder, what might that look like in a more organized way as a direct result and application of the Great Commission? I'm wondering. I talked this week with a Latino pastor who said, you know what Northwest Indiana needs? Northwest Indiana needs a Hispanic, gospel-centered, reformed-leaning, big God, sovereignty of God type church. And I just kind of wonder if we were to say, well, Bethel Church, what would it look like for us to reach the ethne that are living in the neighborhoods around us in a more organized way? And might Jesus applaud such efforts in light of what he told us to do? What does that look like? How does that funding happen? How do we do that? I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering with you. But here's what I look at that. I look at where we're at as a church. I look at the opportunity. And aren't there exciting possibilities for us as a church to just live out the Great Commission in ways that someday when we stand before the King and give an account, we might be happy that we did? This means amen, okay? Amen? We do what we do because he is who he is, knowing that as we do it, he is with us to the end of the age. That's the King's speech. That's the Great Commission. It is the mission of the church, more and better disciples. Let's do it for the King. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to The Journey and the conclusion of a lesson from the Seeking the Kingdom series titled The King's Speech. To replay the full message, visit thejourney.fm. Here on The Journey, each message we share is designed to deepen your understanding of God's eternal truth. Through clear and compelling Bible teaching, listeners like you are discovering fresh perspectives that strengthen their relationship with Christ. Today, we invite you to join us in spreading these life-changing messages. Your support enables us to continue sharing God's Word with listeners across the nation. And as a thank you for your gift, we'll send you Tim Keller's insightful study of Mark's Gospel, Jesus the King, Understanding the Life and Death of the Son of God. This compelling book illuminates how Jesus is the answer to life's major questions and deepest realities. Keller masterfully weaves through Mark's account, revealing two powerful themes: Christ as the King in his teaching and authority, and Christ as a servant in his ultimate sacrifice. For believers, this book serves as a profound reminder that life only makes sense with Jesus at its center. And right now, when you give to The Journey, you'll not only receive this clear and articulate presentation of Mark's Gospel, but you'll also help us maintain a platform where the transforming truth of Scripture can be shared. This book is perfect for sharing with college students, coworkers, friends, family, and really anyone who wants to understand the main storyline of the Bible. And you can request a copy by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or give and request your copy online at thejourney.fm. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda, and that's all the time for now. But be sure to join us tomorrow when Pastor Steve shares another challenging lesson from our Seeking the Kingdom series. That's Friday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.